I'm on it.
That's General Galen Shaw is one of his favorites. The general likes that, and he likes 2 Chainz. There's certain hip-hop groups. There's certain hip-hop artists the general is totally in love with. Let me see something here. Oh, look at that, man. They know Mike Cable and Mike Boom in her face. She looked good. She looks all right. What a day, huh? There's Clinton what's the guy's name? Trump threatening to blow everybody's fucking head off or some shit. I don't know what the hell happened, man. Anyway, welcome to our pre-show. I'm going to do the show, but I have no idea this fucker. The way things are right now, we're just like day to day. We're fine. Don't worry about it. One of the things I want to mention to everybody watching and to every BSP everywhere, and I did allude to it in a post that I put up today. We're getting to our customer service most assuredly on Wednesday today. Given the fact that we had like 3 or 4 days of making sure that we were able to get the show on the site. It's been that traumatic and dramatic shift here at philhenryshow.com. I know there will be days that we'll have where we look back on these times and say, well, weren't those interesting times? But right now it's, I'm always going to be pissed off at this shadow falling across my face. Not as I've said probably more times than you care to hear. I'm not that I'm the best looking guy, but the goddamn shadow. Excuse me, that was rude as fuck. But seriously, let me just say this: fuck around is going. No, we've had some very interesting days here the last few days. But we're getting it together. We're doing our own thing in our own time, as they said in Easy Rider, and. Shit, I'm drinking more now than ever before. I'm kidding. I am kidding, definitely. Not that I quit drinking, but... So what did Trump do? He sent that the Second Amendment people could stop Clinton. Now, the guy that's interesting, and we had the film clip of him, which I will get up here in just a secchi-poo, sat behind Trump, and in so sitting behind Mr. Trump, he was very visible. And let me see. I actually posted it to my Twitter feed here. Oops, excuse me. I don't know if I'm going to really, if I'm doing this right or not. Okay. And it's not a big thing, but it does show his kisser in all of its magnificence, in all of his magnifique. Let me log in. Okay. Let me see something here, man. I don't need to log in, man. I don't need to log in. I just need to get the, here it is. Imagine that, man. You're thinking I got to log in. I don't log in for shit, motherfucker. You know? Look at this guy's face, and Trump will say...
You can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
look at the guy's face. Oh, shit, what did he just say, right? Huh? Watch it again.
She gets to pick. If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But...
Hey, the meaning wasn't lost on that guy. Send me this bullshit. Oh, are you kidding? Why, everyone knows. Apparently, not one guy at his own fucking rally. A guy that got, speaking of being vetted to stand behind the candidate, who was the dumbass? This is where, you know, it flips me out.
If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
oh, yeah. However, the groovy thing of it is, and America being America, at Clinton's rally in Orlando, behind her was the father of the motherfucker. The motherfucker that committed the mayhem, the murder, the atrocity, the Holocaust. This cocksucker has the fucking balls. I think he's, again, boo-hoo. I think there's something wrong with this motherfucker. There's probably a picture you can find it, but this is the father of the murderer at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. He shows up at the Clinton rally. Not only does he show up at the Clinton rally, but he's standing, he's vetted to stand behind her because these are individuals, people that stand behind the candidates during these rallies who are very obviously evident on television. These people are vetted by the campaigns to represent, you know, the creme de la creme, the piece de resistance, you know, who are we as a candidacy? That's why with Trump, all you see are a bunch of old white motherfuckers. You know, I'm sorry, but you do. Yeah, I know the odd campaign, the odd appearance. He's been able to muster up one black guy and 2 people under the age of 100. And that's great. Everybody behind that motherfucking Trump, I can show you again. I wish I had the larger picture, but
if she gets to pick.
All right, okay, so there's.
If she gets to pick.
The younger woman over his right shoulder.
Nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is. I don't know. But.
Oh, fuck. Did you hear that, sweetie? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about who gets vetted to stand behind the candidate, but what happened was this guy got put behind Hillary Clinton. And he's standing there, the father of the murdering motherfucker. That guy's got the balls? You got to be crazy. Or maybe it's some kind of an Afghanistan thing. I don't know what it is. Doesn't make any difference to me. The guy's an American. He says, well, it's a free to for me to go. Yes, it is, sir. There's also common sense. There's also the good sense, the good quality, the good grace. To keep your goddamn face out of the public eye for a while we all settle in and try to get used to the idea that we still are a free society. And, oh, yeah, that's right. People get to go where they want to go who are not criminals, who are not guilty of vicious and violent crimes. But this cocksucking guy, where there's Rachel Maddow. God damn, she's some... I'm kidding. Now... I'm just joking, Rachel. You're a very attractive woman, but I realize you're not interested in that, so that's fine. So that's okay. You don't return my phone calls. But I'll tell you, just getting back to my own personal problems, which is really what we should be talking about. For my backstage pass guys, all of you guys, we had a very traumatic weekend starting Friday night. Now, I'll just tell you this. Friday night, I won't tell you. I'm not going to get into a discussion of personalities. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I'll get as close as I can to the feelings that I had. See, I'm not here to expose or to embarrass anybody. I'm here to tell you how I'm feeling, you know, because that's the most appropriate thing to talk about, not other people. But here's the thing. Friday night, we're at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel because we just finished what I thought was a very successful evening, Phil Hendry and Friends at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. We had a great, great lineup and a packed room, and it was fun. It was a little tiny, you know, Hollywood lab. It was only 85 seats, but everybody was, you know, pounding down the drinks, and Jimmy Pardo was on fucking fire, and Eliza Schlesinger was on fire, and Solomon Giorgio. We had, as I mentioned, Emily Maya Mills. We had John Huck. We had Matt Knutson, who was tremendous. Everybody really was, and I even think I did well. I mean, you know, God knows I have the smallest ego when it comes to that. That's the truth. I'm you know, very, still not sure of myself up there, but even I thought, hey, you know, Phil, you did pretty good tonight. Had a great night. We had such a great night that we were doing some partying over at the bar, and we had friends with us and everything. So we decided, discretion being the better part of valor, we're certainly not going to try to hump it back to the El Pacifico tonight. Let's go ahead and crash here in town. And we tried the Pali Hotel, which is right down the street from the club, full up. And this is summer, so most of the hotels, especially in Hollywood and all the tourist areas, are going to be pretty packed. I tried the Hollywood Roosevelt, which was the first hotel I called, and bless your hearts at the Hollywood Roosevelt. They said, well, wait a minute. You know, they had a couple of rooms. They had one. Of course, you never know if they're really just, you know, feeding you a line. But I suspect it. It's a beautiful hotel. It's a lot of fun. And they had a room. We checked in there. Great place. Love the place. Lauren loves the place. We have a blast there. They're right across the street from Man's Chinese Theater. And they got a place called the Burger Bar on the ground floor, which is like the totally best fucking place for like 2 o'clock munchy hunger, you know, post-club shit. Oh, my God. You know, you cannot find a better place. And I even got into an elevator with a guy and a chick, weird fucking. And this chick's all, you know, mouthy. I got in the elevator, and the guy's all like, hey, dude, I just got married. I'm like, well, fuck yeah. You know, so I gave him five, and they got out of there. And then they were going into the same restaurant I was going into, and I followed them in, and suddenly it's this big, yay! They're bear hugging everybody in the joint. Picked up a couple of burgers for Lauren and I, had myself a beer, went up the elevator to the room, went into the room, sat down, started eating, and I start clearing emails on the old iPhone, and I see a whole bunch of news coming in at once from the website and from the people that, you know, operate the website. And I'm like, what? And, you know, I mentioned some to Lauren, she almost was going to call for the car and drive back to the Pacifico and start fucking cutting heads off. That's how she felt. Long story short, you know, we sort of got our fucking bearings on this shit and went to work as only we knew how. The next morning, got in the car, started driving back to the beach. And I got in touch with a big D. A lot of you guys know DJ, the big man, Big O, the big D-O. He's got a lot of, you know, nicknames. And his son, Joe, Joe O, guy that I call the heir apparent. These two dudes I know, and they're both super, super fucking savvy in programming and in administration of websites. Don, my best friend in the world, who I've known since I was 14, taught himself how to program when he was in his late 20s. He had a Texas Instruments computer as soon as they came out. He ran out, he got one with a little, you know, cassette tape. How many of you had the old Texas Instruments computer with the cassette tape? Not a disc. No fucking digital memory, none of that shit. No floppy disk, no, a cassette tape. That's where the information was stored. I called Don, and he got me in touch with Joe, who is his firstborn, his eldest son. Joe today is early 20s, and a guy that's a great, great guy, and a fucking smart guy, and as I said, is in the branding and marketing and sort of web administration business. And what we're doing now is making sense of all the shit that was sort of left piled on the doorstep. Let's put it that way. And it's been really frustrating, man. It's been super scary. It's been, you cannot imagine how I feel about you guys out there. I don't have a lot of contact with you. There's not a lot I can say to you until we get things in place. So all I can do is post shit. Make sure the show gets up every day. And then on top of that, make sure that our weekend shows get posted. And then on top of that, make sure that our promotions are in place. And then on top of that, make sure, you know, all of our customer service. There's a lot of stuff that that caved in last weekend. So you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And that's what we're doing. We're hoping that it, as we go through this process, which is going to be a learning curve. It's every day is going to get better. When we get back up to where we were, I think it'll be a very, very short time, probably in a couple, 3 weeks. And then I really have plans to push this thing. I think this has convinced me to really push this thing well past the, you know, far more live events, far more live feeds for our BSPs instead of just the Saturday night chat or the Friday night chat. Fuck that. Let's do some live shows for Backstage Pass people every so often. And a lot of, you know, more inclusive things for our BSPs and subscribers. All right, man, let me see what time we have here. Let's check it out and see what the news is all about. What's the news about, man? 100, what? That headline just cracked me up. 100 days of Donald Trump. What would a Trump presidency look like? 100-day political investigation. In April, a few weeks before Donald Trump became the presumptive Republican nominee, he stood on a stage. Oh, fuck. What happened, man? What happened, dude? Wait a minute. Politico, you fucked me. There we go. A few weeks before Donald Trump became the presumptive Republican nominee, he stood on stage in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and made a bold prediction. At some point, I'm going to be so presidential that you people will be bored, and I'll come back as a presidential person. What's wrong with this? Yeah, bitch. How can we improve it? Just go away, okay? You're welcome. Good Lord. You love it? So your website crashed here, Politico. Am I ever going to be... Will this stay... Oh, my God, this is a big article. Let's see. This is probably going to be an attempted humor, as far as I can tell, but we'll go ahead and... Go ahead and read this shit. I'm not going to print all this. Ryan endorses Trump. Here is... this lady got hit with the eggs. Friday, June 3rd, Donald Trump. Look at my African-American over here. Oh, let's remember that one. That was a good one, huh?
My job at ExxonMobil.
Wait a second, man.
Yeah. Where we explore.
Defeating malaria. Improving energy efficiency.
And you thought we just made the gas.
Yeah, I did. You are a gas, baby.
Energy lives here.
We had a case where we had an African-American guy who was a fan of mine. Great guy. In fact, I want to find out what's going on with him. You know what I'm... look at my African-American over
there. Yeah, there he is. There's my African-American.
Are you the greatest? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
Come on,
so
brother.
So we have an African-American guy at one of the rallies.
African-American.
And he's sitting there behaving.
And
we had protesters inside the arena. And they were dressed in a Ku Klux Klan outfit, okay?
Ku Klux Klan.
They're running around dressed as Ku Klux Klan.
Ku Klux.
And the place is booing them. This African American
gets
up, and man, he slugged these guys. He slugged them.
That I approve of, I gotta say.
By that time, their hat was off, because it got ripped off as they were running up.
Their hat?
But this guy, a great guy, I think he was a military guy for a long time.
Right.
He slugged this guy.
You're an African-American. All right, fuck off.
Klan outfit. But
what's the matter, Phil? Are you afraid of what he... No, I'm not afraid. It's great stuff. And I also see well past the... he's too stupid to even understand what it is he's saying. He's such a fucking lummox. Socially, Trump is the kind of guy that if you were black and you went to one of his parties, he'd make you the star of the party. Hey, look, here's Billy. You know my friend Billy? Huh? How you been? Let me tell you what, I want you to come to my rally. You know, he never says it because you're black. I want you to come to my rallies. Why is that? Because you're black, and people got to know that Donald Trump is not a racist. I'm not a racist. Billy, will you help me? Will you help me? You know, all these other white guys. Come on, Billy, you got to help. Then suddenly the black guys are like, oh, fuck, why did I even come to this thing? You know, now all the white motherfuckers who love Trump, they don't understand what I'm saying. And they would be like, yeah, right there with Donald Trump. And they wouldn't even understand this guy's, just back it up. He probably digs Trump. He probably thinks that Trump's economic policies are pretty solid. And, you know, he wants to see what happens. And his national defense thing is great. He doesn't like being singled out that much. So, you know what I'm saying? All right, let me get down here, man.
Phil and Richie don't...
All right. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, man. Fuck it. All right, man. Just trying to get a little phone bed thing going on here.
You're all right, I love.
Craps. Paul Ryan, you know, on Tuesday, June 7th of last year, said that Trump's comments about the Mexican-American Judge Curiel, I believe his name was, his comments about him were textbook racism, the textbook definition of racism. By the way, Paul Ryan beat Paul Nealon, whatever the fuck this guy's, 90% of the vote to 9.9% of the vote. Where is the Trump movement there? I mean, this guy's a Trump guy. All the way down the line, this guy's a Trump guy. Not even 10% of the vote. Now, what does that fucking tell you? In a district against a guy, Paul Ryan, who should be in the crosshairs of every Trump person, should really be the litmus test for Trump's strength among conservatives, right? And his guy, the Trump guy, going up against Paul Ryan, admittedly in his own district, but hey, we've seen, come on, people. I mean, There have been plenty before that have been upset, if you want to use the word. Guy gets his ass handed to him. The only other person that I ever heard of that Trump endorsed also got their ass fucking kicked. I think it was a candidate, I don't know, in the Midwest somewhere. Yeah, Trump really had a bad summer, man, all the way around. It's not getting any better. That was June 7th. June 8th, Joe Scarborough said Trump is acting like a racist, a bigot, and a big league loser. That's Joe Scarborough. Nobody is watching Morning Joe anymore. Gone off the deep end, bad ratings. You won't believe what I'm watching now. Trump tweets in response. Trump gives a serious... Everybody's watching Morning Joe, Trump. I mean, people are into that. All right, let's see what we can do here. Shall we? Let's see what we can do here. 100 days of Trump. The last three... Well, it's three more races for Phelps after Golden. I haven't even seen the Olympics. Is anybody? Are you guys watching the Olympics? I haven't seen shit. I haven't had a chance. Paul Ryan easily wins GOP. Gunfire reported march for Michael Brown. Slay anniversary in Ferguson. Woman fatally shot by Florida police officer during gun demonstration. That's good. Oh my God! Tell me the fucking cops don't need some training. When we talk about training for our police officers, and you don't want it to be a racial topic because it puts people off. You don't want it to be political. Here's a good example of what we're talking about. I'm sure that this shit happens from time to time, this kind of tragic accident. Unfortunately, it's in the news now more than ever before. So you got to get your shit together. You really got to get your shit together, man. Turkey unlikely to drop Syria rebels in latest realignment. Fighting in Aleppo leaves 2 million without water. Venezuelan opposition decries recall vote schedule. Australia's online census brought down by cyber attacks. Federal probe finds Baltimore Police Department racially discriminated in practices that target blacks. That's a federal probe. You know, when these federal probes come back, folks, Ferguson, this one, and they're coming back with similar conclusions, pretty soon it doesn't work anymore to say, oh, well, you know, it's the Obama. It just doesn't work anymore to say, well, these guys are part of the old guard. Like those 50... national security experts who are in non-political positions. You know what that means? It means traditionally these are positions that are seen as no fucking around. This is important to the American people. These are security positions. It's not political here. It means basically that a Democratic president will hire. It's an executive branch, an executive position. That means that the president hires, you know, Department of Defense and so forth. But the president is the head of the executive branch. And it means that in those positions, it doesn't fucking matter if the guy's a Republican. I could give a, he could be a fucking commie for all I know. I want the best guy for the job. That's why you've had, down through the many years of this country, politically opposed people, theoretically, in those positions. FBI director, national security, defense security, central intelligence, you know, State Department intelligence, Secret Service, these... law enforcement arms of the federal government. Now, I'm going to show you something. I want you to see this. Judge orders Glenn Beck to reveal sources for Boston Marathon bombing accusations. Now, journalistically, and this is something that I would adhere to, even though technically I'm not really a journalist, I'm an entertainer, and Glenn Beck would probably make the same claim. But nonetheless, it doesn't make any fucking difference. If you have a source for a story, you protect that source. And the reason why you protect that source in terms of identifying that person is because if you identify that person, you will no longer have sources for news. Everyone will say, that motherfucker gives us up. I'm not talking to him. But beyond that, you fuck it up for every other journalist. You fuck it up for every other journalist. Hey, I saw that guy, Beck, he ratted. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this, Glenn is sort of in that netherworld between entertainer and journalist. But nonetheless, the judge has ordered him to reveal a source. The ethics dictates that he goes to jail before he gives that source up. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? That's not the law. There's no constitutional protection for... And remember that I said this because you're going to hear a lot of people who are too stupid to fucking even talk about, tell you that it's their constitutional right to protect. No, it isn't. There's no constitutional right to protect a source. There's no constitutional right to withhold to withhold evidence. There's no constitutional right. Journalists often go to jail or otherwise find themselves in contempt for refusing to give up a source because ethically, in terms of their own ethics as journalists, professional ethics dictate that they not give a source up because they will never again, no one will ever again trust them in talking to them. And when you say to a source, you say, talk to me, I will keep you, I will keep your identity private. You better goddamn well be serious because those people are talking to you. They're not you. They're not a journalist. They're not some hotshot. They're just, now we'll see whether or not Glenn Beck, if he's truly ordered by this judge, it looks like, I mean, there's the story. He's fighting a defamation lawsuit filed by one of the families who was injured in the April 2013 attack that killed three people. Investigators said brothers, da-da-da-da. Glenn Beck must reveal who told him a Saudi Arabian student was the money man behind the bombing. Beck called Al-Arabi an armed and dangerous terrorist and referred to him as the money man and the guy who actually paid for it, even after top officials said he had nothing to do with the bombing. U.S. District Court Judge Patty Saris ordered Beck and his producer to reveal the names of the two Department of Homeland Security employees they said had linked him to the attack. Beck said in earlier deposition that he never spoke to the sources, and his producers said he wrote down quotes on Post-it notes that he threw away. That's a cop-out. Either they don't have real sources, either they don't have any sources at all, or they're lying about not having met them and putting them on Post-it notes and this kind of shit. I'm telling you, I've got a lot of years in this business. I know what this fucking bullshit's about. The producers testified the sources did not explain when the alleged financing took place, how any funds were transferred, the amount, all the really juicy stuff. Turns out the guy didn't explain any of that. What they did, what they're claiming now, is they just said, here's a name, put it on the air, and fuck this guy up. But they have no real information about this. He need only prove negligence by Beck and appearances on Fox News and his news website, The Blaze. She rejected contention by lawyers for Beck that this guy was a public figure at the time Beck made his comments. Then Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano said 8 days after the bombing that Al-Harbi was never even really a person of interest.
What?
He was never really a person of interest, despite naming him as a suspect. Well, all right, let's... I don't need this anymore. I got to get over here, man, and do this. Holy shit. La-dee-dee. Disney movie hits overshadow lackluster TV. Fuck it, let's just do it. Let's do it and say we did. How about that? Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. All the characters, all the voices, all the peeps that you hear on the show today are all performed by me, interestingly. Oh, wait a minute, man. Got to do it again.